Thank you. I'd like to call the Commerce and Gaming Committee meeting to order. The time is 10:22 a.m. Roll call, please.
Congressman Bickhorst?
Here.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Present.
Congressman Hamilton?
Here.
Congressman Keane?
Present.
Second Speaker Redcorn? Chair Revard?
Here. We have a quorum. Thank you, Clerk. The next item is a prayer. Let's see. Ms. Whitney, can you say the prayer, second speaker? Thank you.
Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather this morning, Lord, and to do the work of your people, Father. Father, I just pray that you be with each of us and settle our hearts and our minds and give us clear thoughts and align us with one another, Father. Father, I just pray that you protect all of our people, Lord, who are mourning or are hurting, Father. Father, I just pray also for this season, Lord, that you've created this beautiful sunshine and the rain and the weather that comes with it, Lord. It can be renewing and it can be life-giving, Father, and I pray that it is that for our people, Lord, that we can enjoy the sunshine and enjoy your creation, Lord, and that you protect us in it, Father. Father, I just pray for each of us in this room, Lord, that we can go about doing your work together, Lord, with happy hearts and good minds and thoughts. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, second speaker. The next item is the approval of minutes. And those are attached to your invite, and those will be for our the minutes on the 21st.
Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Motion to approve the minutes dated May 21st, 2025.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Okay, our minutes from 5:21 have been approved. The next item is number 5, ONCA 2564, an act to amend Chapter 1 of the Osage Nation Revenue and Taxation Act, and to establish an alternate effective date. Congresswoman, or Second Speaker Redcorn is the sponsor, and I will turn it over to you at this time, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. We have been in this bill before, which is a good thing, and I've had lots of really good conversation about it and made lots of good adjustments to it. I have a committee sub that I would like for this committee to adopt, and we can work through today. Chair, did you want to discuss a proposed amendment first, or do you want me to do the committee sub?
I think we do your committee sub first.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. So I would like to make a motion to adopt the committee sub It was stamped in at 9:22 this morning on May 23rd.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed? Okay, the committee sub has now been adopted.
Chair, at this time, I would like for our assistant AG, Ms. Cass, to walk us through the committee sub. Because we have a red line version that we can follow along with. And I do want to make note that I gave each of you a packet this morning that has the red line version of the committee sub, but then it also includes, I gave you a list of the things that were amendments that were added to the actual committee sub that we just adopted. So the red line version and that list of amendments you have is a complete understanding of the actual committee sub that was adopted just now. And a number of the amendments that were put into it are very similar, if not exactly the same, as what we added to Chapter 2 as far as communication with rule changes and how it impacts our retailers. And I believe there was a definition in it as well. And then, so if, at this time, I'd like for Assistant AG Cass to go through some things.
Yes, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
My question is we have a lot of documents here in front of us. My question is there any, I know we're looking at where amendments have been put into the bill, the committee substitute. Is there any indication of what has changed that's in the original code, the changes that we're asking to be adopted that was as code sits right now? Is there any where we can look at that? Does that question make sense to you? Okay,
no.
So we're changing code. We have the code printed right now. So what we're looking at, is there any reference to what actually we're changing from the code to where we are today? I know we have just a few committee substitutes, a few amendments to the bill as drafted. But do we have a complete look at what we're doing to change code should we pass this bill?
No, but you do have previous red line versions from previous committee meetings before we passed this out of committee the last time and then pulled it back. So if anything, you would just have to compile those various red line versions that and set them side by side to the original code. But we've adopted so many committee subs on top of them now. This is the most current thing that we're working off of, and it would just have to be paired side by side to the original code. But no, we don't have something that does that for us.
Thank you.
Okay, sponsor. Assistant AG, would you like to come?
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. Just to address Congresswoman Whitehorn's question, we went over that in the previous session when we went through these amendments the first time. We looked at the old code and how it would change. So I feel like we've already done that work. And we've continued to work on this bill since we were in session last. So the current red line we have now, the First Amendment is an amendment to section 1-101 that says the board is created pursuant to Article 7, Section 5 of the Constitution of the Osage Nation.
Okay, committee, are there any questions regarding that amendment?
On page 2, we've added a definition for emergency to mean a serious and or unexpected situation negatively affecting the interest of the Osage Nation that requires immediate action of the board. And this definition will come into play when we get into the discussions of adopting rules and regs.
Okay, so you said that's on page 2?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know either. Which definition? Under
emergency.
Okay, so that's, so anything in purple?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Chair. Anything that's in purple on that one that you're looking at is on that list of amendments that I gave you.
Okay.
Okay, so the first amendment then, page 2, beginning at line 62. If you look at that, there's some document that she gave to all of us that says, is entitled Chapter 1 Amendments. First Amendment, page 2, beginning at line 62. Insert the following new definition under section 1 and adjust bullets to accommodate such definition. Emergency means a serious and or unexpected situation.
The next amendment that we are proposing is to section 1-103 regarding the tax authority board's general authority. and this is in regards to bylaws, which bylaws are how the tax commission board would operate, or tax authority board, excuse me, how they would operate internally. So there's some, it's in section E. It says the board shall publish an official notice of any proposed bylaws directly affecting any taxpayer and or person possessing a license or permit of the nation under this act on the Osage Nation website 10 days prior to the meeting, or 5 days in the event of an emergency. All bylaws of the board shall not become effective until 30 days after adoption, or immediately in the event of an emergency as declared by resolution of the board. The board shall publish said bylaws on the Osage Nation website and send notice to all taxpayers and persons possessing a license or permit of the nation within 10 days after adoption and provide notice of the effective date.
Committee, any questions? Oh, Congresswoman Whitehorn?
So that is just specific to bylaws, correct?
Correct. And the other amendment to section 1-103 is something that is already in law, so it's a little bit repetitive, but we wanted it to be expressed that the board is exempt from the Osage Nation Administrative Procedures Act because we have developed notice and publish requirements within this bill, and the tax commission has always had the authority to write rules and regs to carry out and administer the Osage Nation's Revenue and Taxation Act.
Okay, questions, committee? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the next amendment is in section 1-104, General Powers and Rulemaking Authority of the Tax Authority Board. This is in section A1, establish and adopt rules and regulations of the Tax Commission related to the administration, enforcement, and enforcement of all Osage Nation tax laws. It's the same language that we added for the bylaws. They'll publish notice of any proposed rules and regs directly affecting any taxpayer or license holder or permit holder on the website. Won't become effective for 30 days unless it's an emergency, and that they're required to publish them and send them out within 10 days after adoption. Let's see. That next amendment is just that all policies and procedures of the Tax Commission shall be published on the Osage Nation website. Those policies and procedures refer to like the operational policies and procedures of the Tax Commission, which the Tax Authority Board oversees, so it's just requiring publication of those. So those would not be policies and procedures that affect a taxpayer or license holder.
Committee, any questions about the last two amendments?
Okay, the next amendment is in Section A7, issue orders against taxpayers and persons upon evidence presented by the director, and authorize employees of the commission to enforce such orders. Such orders shall have the force and effect of law. This is language that was already in there. We just added in language that the order has to be supported by evidence as presented by the director of the Tax Commission.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. The next amendment?
There's an amendment in Section 10, but I believe we discussed that in the committee meeting on Monday. We had to add in, we had to go in throughout Chapter 1 and add in fees and permits. So you'll see that language added in. I believe we've already discussed it. So the next new amendment would be in Section B, and that is that all schedules shall be published on the Osage Nation website, and that would be according to any fines and fees the board has the authority to adopt and promulgate for failure to comply with any audit or request for documentation.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Ms. Cass, has the term fee been defined in the definitions?
No, I don't believe it has.
Is there a definition for fee?
No, there's not.
So in the Tax Commission Board's mind, what is a fee?
I mean, it's amount of money.
For what, though?
For violating the act.
Fee is for violating the act?
Yes.
I thought that was a fine.
Is that, yeah, so I was
thinking. There's a fine, and then, well, sorry, a fee would be like what they charge for copying. It's in, where's that at? That's an address in Section F.
Section.
So there will be a schedule of said fees.
Yeah, for Section F, which is for production, copying, transcripts or records, issuance of like license fees.
Okay, so
like
there's clearly not a definition of fees or fines. Is that something the committee is asking that gets amended in, or are you guys clear with the difference between a fine and a fee? Okay.
I think it needs to be defined, because in the definition of taxpayer, they consider a fee a tax. So if it's not defined, then a fee could be anything that you want to charge money for. And I've seen that happen, not with this body, but I've seen people call things a fee and tack it in there. And I think that fees need to be defined.
Second speaker.
So, if I may, I'm curious where it says in the definition of taxpayer, the taxpayers pay fees. Because in the definition we have here, that's proposed, it says that they pay taxes. There's no mention of a fee.
Right, it says license or permit.
Let me ask a question. So last session, we passed the law about a decal for mobile homes, I believe. And was that considered a fee, or was that considered a registration? Was that considered a license? I can't remember what we called that.
It would be a registration fee. So these are just fees related to, like, issuing licenses, issuing right. business licenses,
that's
permits.
That's my point. We can, if people are making their own rules and they want to say they have a dog license fee, that's a fee that doesn't have to come before anybody. That can make up the amount that they want for the fee. I think the term fee needs to be defined or limited to what type of fees our tax commission collects on people. That's
Director Oberle.
Those fees are defined later in law under the business license code and also under the tag registration code. All of those fees are set by law.
So can we put the definition of fee to adopt that portion of code in the definition?
I mean, you could. I'm just saying it's already in code what those fees, what they're set at, because they're set, you guys already set them by law. The business license fee is already set. All the tag fees are set. Registration fees are set. How much we charge for a title, that's all set in law already, just not in this section, because it's in those sections, the business license section and the car tax section.
Okay.
So if that helps clear that up, those fees have already been defined and numbers put to them, just in different parts of the law.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, all right, committee, I hear one member wanting a definition. Are you still wanting a definition added, or are you? Did that suffice? Okay. All right. All right. Next amendment.
Okay. The next amendment is in section C, which gives the board authority to establish administrative hearing procedures by rule that ensure due process of law. And there's an amendment that requires that all rules have to be published on the website within 30 days after adoption. And any rules directly affecting any taxpayer or person holding a business license or permit shall be provided written notice by mail within 30 days after adoption. And the same section A language will apply to this section, where they have to publish the notice on the website of the rule change and all of that.
Okay. Any questions? Next amendment.
That's to section D. The board shall have the authority to enforce any and all written and adopted rules and regulations not inconsistent with the act. And when that means the act, it means all chapters of the Revenue and Taxation Act. The next, I don't believe this is an amendment. I think it just got moved down. But it's the board shall have the authority to examine under oath, either orally or in writing, any taxpayer or agent, officer or employee of any taxpayer or any other witness in respect to any matter relative to the Osage Nation tax laws. So that authority would come into play when the board has determined that they need to hold an administrative hearing regarding a license or permit revocation or a tax assessment hearing.
Any questions, committee? Okay, thank you. Next amendment.
That would be in section G, where they're talking about fees and charges shall be reasonable. And the amendment is that the schedule has to be posted on the Osage Nation website.
Okay, and is that F?
G.
Any questions? All right, next amendment.
So our next amendment, according to the committee sub, is that we have removed the language that all rules and regulations have to come back through the Congress in order to be effective. And is that something we would like to discuss now, or would you rather me continue to go through the rest of the amendments and we can come back to that? Because it's my understanding that that language is being proposed to be put back in.
Any questions, committee?
Yeah.
Congressman Keene?
Yeah, I would like to discuss this now. So it's my understanding that the executive branch has said they're fine with us approving the rules. Is that accurate to anyone that can answer that?
So when you mean the executive chief, that chief's okay
can
with...
We have not.
Okay. Well, I think he is. Is he in there? Where did I hear that? I heard that from someone.
Where's that coming from?
Hi, Assistant Chief. I just got a question. So we're going through these tax code changes, and one thing that is being proposed, there is an amendment that's being proposed where the tax board will have to come to Congress to get their rules approved, much like the election board and other boards. I guess I'm wondering, is the executive branch good with that, or do you know at this time?
So, yeah. So, Congressman, I mean, we haven't had that specific discussion, but my answer would be that the chief yields to the tax commission almost exclusively.
So I believe when we met the other day, there were discussion about chief that you guys were gonna reach out to him about the amendments, because he thus far has been following along and he was okay with the other chapter. I'm just curious, as he, these new amendments, the overall picture, the commission now being the ones that would have that authority rather than Congress as chief, he's been following along as discussed, and he's in agreement with the amendments or the way that this would be set up?
I just recently sent him an email explaining what's going on with chapter one, and he did not respond back to me. I did state in there that we were against that amendment because it takes away from what we have to do, what we're doing in our office. We would have to have Congress come back into session all the time because often. I don't know if you're prepared to do that, but to approve any rule that we make. Because there are emergency situations where we are required to make a rule like within 24 hours. We've had that come up before. So he did not come back and say, no, he was for this amendment at all.
Okay, thank you. Congressman Keene.
So I talked to pretty much everyone and my fellow colleagues. There's 11 other Congress members. I actually spoke to AG Cass before this. It's my sense this body wants Congress to approve these rules and regs. That's the sense I'm feeling. So I guess I'm saying that I understand, obviously I'm an attorney, I understand AG Cass's concerns, separation of powers, but again, this is politics comes into play, you pick your battles. I think this body is ready to have the rules come through here and get approved by Congress. I only speak as one member. So those are my thoughts now. Thank you.
Committee, anyone care to voice your comments at this time regarding your thoughts on whether Congress should approve or not? Congresswoman Goodfox?
Yeah, so I've have voiced my opinion on this before. I don't have an issue voicing it now. I'm in favor of that. I don't agree with the separation of power at all. I know that, listen, I'm not an attorney, but I still have an opinion. I just don't agree with it. I don't agree with it at all. And I said, and I'll say it again, I'm very reluctant to say if he wants to veto it, let's go to court. But I would be willing to go to court on this. I hear the argument, and I see that we've added language to this at the very beginning that points out how they're part of the Constitution. But I mean, so is every board and commission. I mean, Section 5, the executive branch shall consist of the elected offices of principal chief, the assistant principal chief, and all other administrative offices, departments, agencies, instrumentalities of the Osage Nation, including but not limited to public trust boards, village committee authorities, and commissions. They're all the boards are in that. All of them. Whether they're within the government or outside of the government. Outside of the government meaning CDFI, gaming, health, Osage Nation Foundation, all of the boards and commissions that we have within our government are listed in here. And we approve, I don't look at this any differently as we approve or have say in the chief's budget. We approve that. We get, if that's not a separation of power. The Minerals Council is listed in here. But the minute that the Minerals Council asks this body to appropriate dollars and cents for legal fees, we're asking questions. We're getting involved because we are the people that are in, that's our job. There's a lot of people that can say that's separation of powers. That Minerals Council is in that constitution. They're not part of this and they're not, but no, they are part of this government and that is what we are put in place to do. So that's where I stand on it. I'm willing to vote yes for this amendment. And after that, you know, the changes that were made, I'm good with. I've looked through them briefly. Quickly. So I'm ready to move this along. That's where I'm at.
Okay. So Congresswoman Redcorn, second speaker, then Congressman Keene, and then Trey.
So I've thought a lot about this on both directions. And I've read and heard both arguments that this is not overstepping on separation of powers or that it is. And what I keep coming back to in my mind is the manner in which we're establishing, because of the way this board operates with their rules and how much of their daily function and administrative function and their ability to carry out the law, how much of that rides on the rules. Because it's so heavily attached to that, if they have to come back to Congress for every single amendment to that, I feel that that's an interference on their ability to operate daily, their daily operations. We're getting down into the weeds on their ability to operate. And one of the points, there's a number of points on here that I like that on this communication that we received that reminds us of Standing Bear v. Pratt. Congress cannot, in the discharge of its legislation, this is from that decision, in the discharge of its legislative obligations, adopt laws that hinder or obstruct the government's administration. So if we put it into law that they have to come down here for every single rule change, and if one of those rules is simple, right? Like we've had the example given to us a number of times on this situation, then it came down from the state and how tags, car tag, temporary tags were issued and whatnot. They needed to make an immediate shift in order to serve our people well. It couldn't handle a 10-day notice for a special session and then time for us to run that change through committee and then out the door, which would have been the 2-week process, even at best, right? Our people needed something better than that. And if we ask them to come down here for every single rule change, I believe that we are hindering their ability to operate. And we're expressly told not to. And because of how this board operates, I feel like that's why this needs to be considered in that way, because they operate so heavily off of their rules, their daily operations, that we can't step in the middle of that, because we are going to hinder their progress. And I personally, just on that one simple topic, I don't want to be the body of people that stands in the way of our tax commission being able to serve our people well when changes come at them quickly, when it comes to tags or anything from the state related. Like, they need to be able to move and do what's best for our people. And we can't step in the way of that. We shouldn't. We should not want to. We've asked them to talk about the rules and post the rules ahead of their meetings when it impacts taxpayers. We've asked them to do all these things and communicate all these things. And they'll be doing that all out in the open. All of these rule changes and all these, any future rule changes or proposed changes will all be broadcast and communicated to the public in a very transparent way. And I think that for this, like, I'm not even gonna talk about how, whether or not we all fully agree on whether they're exempt from the Administrative Procedures Act. I'm just not. For me, this is a hard issue of, if we ask them to come down here for every single rule change, we are stepping in the way of their daily operations, and we are hindering it. We're not stopping it. We're not telling them no. I mean, we might, but that's also us stepping in the way of that. And we should not be down in the weeds in the daily operations of our boards. We're not supposed to be. And that's where I land on it.
Congressman Keene.
Just one last point. So Congresswoman Redcorn makes some good points, but as far as a legal fight, I don't foresee one happening. Not even about the law, it's more time and practicality. Chief, I assume, is not running again. He'll be in office another 14 months tops. So you're saying, let's say he vetoes this bill, we override the veto, we pass this law. Are you really telling me Chief Standing Bear is gonna die on this hill and go to court and fight this? This here. You really see that happening? They're gonna pay $200,000 to go up there and fight over this, over us approving these rules? I don't see it. Attorneys cost a lot of money. Does he wanna spend his last year in office fighting over this? I highly doubt it. So when something gets brought into court as unconstitutional, as AG Cass knows too, you first got to raise a flag and petition the court to say it's unconstitutional. Otherwise, the court won't ever hear it. There's a lot of things we do that are, Eli would always rail on this. We didn't submit financial reports. By law, we were supposed to. We went years, it never happened. Guess what? It was never litigated. You know why? Because neither branch ever petitioned a court to hear it. The courts decide when a party raises their flag. So again, Congresswoman Redcorn makes really good points. I'm kind of undecided on it now. But I think we do need to have the debate, which we're having now. And like I told AG Cass, I was just one person, but the way I sensed was this body wants to have them come here to approve these rules. That's just what I sensed. And if you get 10 wins out of 12, that's a win, like I said. If you propose 12 things that can improve things and you only get 10 or 11, hey, take it. Because again, politics is the art of compromise. So thank you.
Trey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Whether you support this or not, make no mistake, this is a legislative function. This body has the right to establish the rules and regulations by which the executive branch agencies are going to interact with the public, fine them, charge them, however they're going to interact with them. Ms. Cass, her arguments are invalid that she put out this morning. She states policies and procedures can't be established by the Congress for the executive branch. She's absolutely right there, but it's a false argument. We're talking about rules and regulations, which is something completely different. So this body has the right to either approve the rules and regulations or to delegate that authority through the Administrative Procedures Act or delegate it by law, which is what this current language does. But again, make no mistake, it is wholly a legislative function and not a violation of separation of powers.
Thank you, Mr. Gill. Any other questions, comments from the committee at this time? It's 11. We're going to be here till noon, so I just want them to make, you know, want to make sure we stay moving with the amendments as well. Congresswoman Whitehorn. And so, then
I just wanted to say here, I want to yield to the rules, and I think that we are on the rule about knocking that out, what was adopted during the last session. So I have not asserted that amendment yet, and I will speak to it when I do.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Okay, then the next amendment, let's keep moving on that. I don't want to rebuttal back to Trey back and forth. I want to use the time to amend that or go through the amendments, if that's okay. I just want to make sure that I want the committee to have a good time to look at all these proposed amendments and make a solid decision looking at it in totality. Let's go to the next amendment.
I think the next amendment is in section 1-112. I believe we talked about it on Monday. We just had to add in permits or permit to a lot of to the chapter throughout. So the next newest amendment is section 1-114, is that the forms have to be published on the Osage Nation website. The amendments in 1-116 we discussed on Monday, it was adding in fees and permits and a small amendment to change it to tax commission department.
Is that amendment in E, it's just a small one at the end?
I think it's in B, 116B.
Okay, are we now at 118?
Yeah, so I think those are the things we've already, I believe we discussed those on Mondays, adding in fees, all taxes, fines, fees, and interest regarding the collection of taxes. And in 119, adding in permit. Section C is that within, we added in that it would be 20 business days for the Attorney General to file an action against any property alleging the non-payment of a tax or for, so that's in regards to seizure. So it just gives the Office of the Attorney General 20 business days to file that petition.
Any questions, committee, on any of the amendments thus far?
And then on the next sections, it's just adding in fees, which I believe we've already discussed on Monday. Next amendment was just permits, adding in permit for request for audit and compliance. And then in section 1-123E, the tax authority board shall select the auditor and bear the initial cost of the audit if such funds have been appropriated by the Congress. I can't remember what word was in there before then, but it was just cleanup. And then in 124B, the schedule has to be published on the Osage Nation website. Same thing for 125, schedule has to be published on the website. And then in 126, that's regarding referrals for prosecution. There's just some that the board, the director, and any employee of the tax commission have to notify the Office of the Attorney General if there's probable cause to exist to believe that any person has violated any section of this act, including but not limited to section 1-125, which is the prohibited act section, for prosecution. Then in section 1-127, the schedule has to be published on the Osage Nation website. And same thing for 128 for interest rates. It has to be published on, the schedule has to be published on the Osage Nation website. Sections 129 and 130, we just added in or permit because they also issue permits and we had not, I believe we discussed that on Monday. Same thing for 130, 131, fees and permits have just been added throughout chapter one. 133 included, had to put fees in there. 135 had to add fees and permits into that section. And there's something I would like to discuss in regards to why we amended the sovereign immunity language. Do we still have an executive session for this?
Yes, we sure do.
Okay, so the rest of these, for 138 and 139, it was just either adding in fees or cleaning up language or adding in permit. And then that covers all the amendments that have been made since session and then even since our meeting on Monday. So if it would please the committee, I would like to go into executive session to discuss the importance of changing the sovereign immunity language.
Motion to enter executive session.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you.